because they didn't know enough. And they were saying the simplest questions in the world, it was asking. Do you get married? What do you do for entertainment? Or stuff like that. And it's supposed,
what do you eat? And
Yeah, that's right. And it's supposed to be for the language, because it's a linguist of the Romanesque language. Because in the Romanesque language, there's 40 different dialects or something. And they wanted to know that. But all he was interested in just the culture. And it was good talking to him.
Which is the key to it all, isn't
because
it?
Because he was student and it's open.
Yeah.
There wasn't just...
Closed. Closed-minded.
Like you said, like Johnny, the mind was open and freed, free to learn.
Yeah.
And it was open and it was really... And it was taken on board. They didn't have precept concepts of what we was and what we weren't. And when they were great when they were students. How many lectures did we do with them different times?
I don't know. Just come down and see us.
Two or three.
Well, it's only through education, isn't it?
Through the university, wouldn't it? In Preston, we've got a university that's very important. But that historically, when you think about the history of what in the main culture people talk about gypsies, you think about all the poets like Keats and Shelley and Byron and this sort of romantic idea of the gypsy life, sort of thing, which is a bit rose-tinted spectacle. But the way that, so there's a sort of a very positive aspect to that culture, isn't it? How people have always found the freedom of gypsy life very attractive, haven't they?
That's right. They fall in love. Either they label it is psychopath thieves, or just mad, romantic lovers. Wuthering Heights. He flipped. He's gypsy, wasn't he? He went mental as well, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He went mental as well. But it goes like one way or the other.
Jay, what was your point about like a concert? What needs to be done next?
Just talking about history as people's maintaining. You know, we were talking earlier about culture, talking about how maintaining and keeping things alive, and looking at like doing projects. Like I know places, for instance, in Palestine, the Palestinians worry about their own culture, so they have their own like media centres and things like that. It's about maintaining so things don't get lost.
I tell you what's going to happen.
And so that insularness is broken.
Yeah. 100 years from now, gypsies will be gone.
Well, not necessarily.
Less than, I'm saying 50 years now, right? Before they catch on. So maybe 60 years from now, they'll catch on. Gypsies will be in the woodwork, maybe, if they have their way, right? Then they'll do documentaries. What happened to the gypsies? Then they'll be so upset and they'll try and find some of us. Someone was left.
They have exhibitions.
Yeah, I'll try and find someone left. Can't we get these gypsy people back as a culture?
This used to be a painted bucket, an original painted bucket.
Just like the dodo, they're going to wipe us out. That's what they're going to do with us.
It don't have to be that way.
No, but...
What do you think then, Dave, can be done?
I think the point about being insular and actually breaking open the silence and taking it away from the red top papers like The Sun and the Daily Mail,
who create these stereotypes and all this hatred and division.
And actually just, bringing the culture out and showing this is what
it
we are.
Media,
this is us.
But if they're not willing to accept what we are and give us a chance to explain to them what we are or show them what we are, how are we supposed to do it? I know you say there's protests and all that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You see the hard enough life we get trying to live a quiet life. Can you imagine the life that we'd get if we tried to just speak out and done this? You know what I mean?
But you would get allies.
Because they won't allow us to, like, now, they just automatically think we're this until they come and act. They won't give us the chance to show them what we are. You know what I mean? We're normal people, we're not this.
Yeah. Something like that needs to be done by an outsider. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
A coordinator.
To present us. Mm.
Yeah. Do you have a website whereby, is there like some form of website where you can go?
I think that you can do this from another perspective. You want to do this at a micro level. It's not about on a grand scale. You don't want to have like the world gypsy culture thing. Then it's like something that's just become like
already exists with the Euro Grenada
ornaments that are there with freaks. Oh, the gypsies are there. We're going to. But it's on a micro level. One of the things I found very interesting was saying when you went to the university to talk to the people, and you were actually there with them and they could speak to you and see what you were like. They found that very attractive. They liked you. And they liked what was happening. Now, working on the micro level, at that kind of smaller level, that builds, doesn't it? Like microeconomics, macroeconomics, but it's like sort of, it's an incremental thing. So that one, for instance, in Preston, I'm sure you could link in with the university, or with things like Preston Arts, the Preston Arts thing.
Yeah.
And you could then possibly get funding streams to actually have things where you build up these relationships between different communities.
Well,
and it's inherently part of that, but I don't want to keep going on.
That's exactly what I wanted.
I think it's that stronger, isn't it?
We wanted it. We wanted to set up...
The most accepting people that you have are children.
The more...
That's what we wanted.
The most accepting people you've got as children. Because when the children's been going to school, sometimes they've had parents who've put all hate and put all things into their mind. But I've seen the children say to my children, well, my dad said this, but you're not. You're nice, I like him. And I think children are very, very impressionable. And if children get introduced at an early age, say at school age, do you know what I mean?
Primary school, you can
change people's attitudes.
All secondary school.
Yeah, well, that's the social. That's before the child has not yet been.
So we wanted that. We try to push that forward to the education of black men.
Yeah.
My wife wanted to go forward. She said, "Look, if you just fund just so she can take the time off because she's got a job, she'll have to chuck me job in. You fund just fund me instead of me job." She said, "I will go to school to educate about it. I will take photographs, the culture thing, the
history,
pegs, the flowers, and I will then talk about our lifestyles." And it was just clubs that wasn't interested.
Now, who did you ask funding from?
We mentioned to... No,
I think the travel education was trying to get some support,
nothing.
They couldn't get any support. Could they?
Nothing in the support, they wasn't interested. And it would have been a bit of a brilliant idea.
It was a good life, nice life. We used to be on the road a lot, meeting different people. We didn't used to have sinks and indoor toilets and washrooms and everything like that. If one of us did something that got a bad name, it went through the whole lot of us. We had the freedom of the road.
Henry Stamford runs the Romany Life Centre, promoting gypsy culture. After years on the road, he now collects caravans to enable other people to experience what it was like. One of them from the 1920s is a real family connection.
My granddad owned it in the early 1920s, and my mum was actually born in it in 1925. She would have had an hard life because she would be home of a night washing and cooking till probably from the time she got back from going out calling with her arm basket, she'd have been working right up until she got to bed. And then the next morning she had to get up with that basket and perhaps sometimes walk 10, 12, 15, might be 20 mile to go calling, or hawking, as some people call it, and then she had to walk home. To them it wasn't hard because it was how they were brought up. It's how we were brought up. You know, a lot of things that come hard to the non-gypsy people, like, wouldn't come out to us. It's like when we used to sleep in these in the winter. It wasn't always warm, but you know, and sometimes us boys, when we become like 12, 13, 14 year old, we wouldn't be allowed to sleep in here with our parents and our sisters. We would have either been in a tent, or if we didn't have a tent, we'd have had a canvas slung around the bottom of the wagon. We'd have slept under there. And if we were lucky enough, we'd have another wagon to sleep in somewhere.
And why do people travel?
It's in our blood, really, but we used to have to travel for the field work, all the different work that we did to earn a living. And we sometimes, like my family, they travelled mainly Kent and Sussex, going years back. But I've got other members of the family that's married into other gypsy families, and they go to Cambridge, they go to Essex, they go to Norfolk, they go to Worcester, all over. But the field work has actually come to an end now to how it used to be. So, and also with the travelling, we can't do it anymore because the stopping places are not there. It's not an easy life, and also, importantly, we want our children to get an education. And you can't always just pull somewhere and put them into a school.
Why do you think people don't like gypsies? Gypsies seem to have a bad reputation.
I think what it was years ago, because we were so secretive about our culture and our way of life, is people being afraid of the unknown. And if one of us did something that got a bad name, it went through the whole lot of us. And what we do with the education side of it and going round, and we invite people here and we let people come and have a look and be what we are for a day if they want to, really, or try to be, to live that way of life. It's educating people, it's educating the younger generations, the schools, to have a different outlook on the Romany Gypsy people.
Welcome to Preston FM on 103.2. This is the voice of the people.
It's not an easy life. My first memory of police, I can't remember it. I was about the age of Leilani, I was about eight. Mm. And we were pulling up and down, and it was near Gloucester. And the lorry broke down, and we were pulled into a thing at the side of the road. And Daddy said, we'll just leave the trailer safe, we'll go and get the lorry fixed.
Yeah.
And the police pulled in. And Daddy, had you ever seen them old milk chains? That's what we used to keep water in. But we had two milk chains. And the policeman came in and he said, you've robbed them milk chains. My daddy said, I haven't. He said, I bought them out the creamery. He said, where I was staying, I bought them out the creamery. No, you haven't. You've robbed them. He took the milk chains, took them off us. And then we had two plastic water cans. He put holes in the water cans so that all the water had run out. And then he locked my daddy up. And we were in the middle of nowhere.
Right. That's cool.
So that's my first memory of policemen. I can remember thinking, why did they do that?
Why
did they put our water out?
Because they don't want you to be there.
Yeah.
But we were in the middle of nowhere with no water and
why do people treat it so wrong?
It's like Palestine humanity
is trying
to
do that
at
the moment, trying to stop the water going into Palestine, aren't they? Mm. The with all the troubles the there. So. Why are people so want so nasty then?
Because they want to defeat another group of people. I mean, it's just, I mean, we've gone.
So,
Spence Davis.
Like Shay
said, when I was about 12 months ago, I was working in Preston.
Right.
And I do jet washing and roofing.
Oh, yeah.
And the police was driving around the estate on the route, and they pulled into where I was working and stopped me. I was working on someone's house, and when they checked me out, and they said that I was from, they checked my van out, it was insured, air tax, mm-hmm. everything. They checked me out.
Yeah.
I wasn't wanted for anything. But when they checked me out, my address came up as a caravan site in Blackburn. They stripped all my tools and looked at every one of my tools and asked for a receipt for every one of the tools. And because I couldn't provide a receipt for one of the tools I got because I bought it off a car boot sale.
Uh-huh.
It was. I know. I don't think it did. I think my uncle gave me. It was an old drill. Because I couldn't supply the receipt for that, they took it.
All of the tools.
They took the drill that I had. And the rest of my tools was all right. They checked them all out because they had the jet wash had like a number on it where I bought it from.
Right.
Yeah.
And they rang that chap up and done that, and then they checked everything that was all
right.
And the rest wasn't there.
Right.
Robbing anything it was.
And then when they talk about the Gestapo and the secret police in Russia and doing things like that, everybody thinks it's terrible, and yet it's
but he was leaving, and I know he didn't say it was because of that. He was going because obviously he had nothing to do me for, because everything was above board.
Yeah.
But as soon as the address come through, I gave him the address. As soon as he realised what it was, and he knew someone from Blackburn, one of the police officers that knew someone, and one of the other gypsies there, and that was when he went through. There was nothing he could find, and he just done that. And it happened the same in Liverpool. I got stopped the spot check. And he was searching me for drugs.
Right, yeah.
Because some gypsies had got done for drugs in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And he was searching me for drugs, me, my brother and my cousin. At the side of the road, he was a full strip search.
I think that's ridiculous. You know what I'm going to say, some gypsies? Because, I mean, they could say, well, some gorgeous. There's a gorgeous over the other side of the country was taking drugs, so you must take drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound the same?
I think what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not bad, some lads are right. I played darts with some of them.
Sorry, say that.
I go with others to say, well, I know some of the gypsy lads are not bad. I see them in the pub play darts when I play pool with them. That's it. It's like, that's them accepting you. Because one's all right, and that's them being half nice. But you're accepting one, you just cross them. And the first thing that the gypsies so.
And it works at that level, doesn't it? That's what I was saying before. It works at the level of just personal contact, the micro level, rather than the bigger picture. The bigger picture comes out of the small parts of the picture, you know. So you've got the jigsaw of people going into pubs and people seeing
and integrating
the
into that,
and they go and have the dinner there, and then they don't know who you are. They just think you're nice people. Then as soon as you say I live in this place, then you become something else.
That's right.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
As soon as we travel along the road,
and it's breaking those barriers.
Was it Bristol we were travelling? They run to the door and lock the door, and there was in the restaurant.
Yeah, in the little chef.
Oh. Yeah, we pulled the little chef. All these moments, it was all small then it was. And we was travel all day with stone roofs. So we're pulling the cellar, chef or something, happy eater it was.
Mm.
Where the trailers was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We pulled the trailers in the car park, walked to the door, and it's like, good on.
How does that actually make you feel?
I felt like I picked up a record and smashed it for the door, actually.
What did you do?
I felt like doing it, but I never.
Right, right.
I felt like going
to school. Yeah.
Because it's just, it's awful, isn't it? It's just blatant sort of racism. It's so terrible.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
Any other woman I have.
on those travellers in the cavalry.
Oh yeah.
It's just like in the 50s and 60s, isn't it? So a black person can't sit on a bus and stuff like that, get off the bus and all the rest of it. So I don't
understand. But it's just, I can't understand that.
Not in the 21st century. I know.
Like they used to say, that when the blacks first came over to England, they used to say, no blacks are, no dogs are blacks and no dogs are Irish, didn't they? On the boarding houses.
No Irish, no dogs, no blacks are Irish.
Yeah, and they used to have signs with that on the doors of the boarding houses.
They get out, no travel, still get signs.
People say it's ridiculous and it's unacceptable to do, and it is totally unacceptable to say that they wouldn't leave black people on buses and things like that. Mm. But you have to say it about travellers now, and people seem to be accepting that.
It's just prejudice, whichever way it is.
I've been in nightclubs, I don't drink anymore. When I used to drink in nightclubs, me and my mates, we had to go in, and we wasn't allowed to say what it was.
No.
If they knew that we were gypsies, we'd be kicked out. We didn't have to fight. We didn't have to cause any trouble. We could be just
prejudice.
Quiet, walking. We had to lie.
In Romania,
it was a
very poor country. They send out how people used to send them. We own orphanages in Romania. And we've opened orphanages. Some hospitals we've made. Our own people's funded in this country, right? Mm-hmm. But the Gorgia people, when they used to go across Romania, he said, I'm glad you're going to the gypsies, he said, because we're not allowed to give the gypsies food.
And we sponsor.
So it's like lepers.
And we used to give the Gorgia people money. We give them money, we buy them clothes, we buy them bags. We go and buy them bags of shop and say, look, take it to Romania.
Yeah.
And when we start going out, our own people start going to Romania to feed the people, he said, I'm glad you're going to his own people, he said, because we're not allowed to give to the gypsies. He said, one loaf of bread, he said, to a gypsy is a riot in the town. We're not allowed to.
That'd be a good. The mayor of Preston, who Paul knows very well, and I know very well, has three houses in Romania, and he lets people stay there, doesn't he? That he has people who stay there for in Romania. He lets people stay there for nothing. But if we could get the mayor to come down in his chair.
I'm going to ask Albert. That would be really nice. He's the mayor of Preston at the moment.
I've met a few mayors. I got invited to a meeting in Bolton, and about 7 or 8 mayors, weren't they?
Because he's a nice man.
Yeah.
He's
they want to be there. There's only some reason they want to meet
a
the gypsies in the past of Bolton Church. He said, come and meet me. I don't know what
these
mayors.
I
talked to them. I sent some foreign gypsies. I went to talk to them.
And they've also got really weird, narrow ideas.
It was just ticking boxes.
Yeah, it's all ceremony.
Yeah, there's tough. I'm not a
that's right.
Now, you know the local scene. We were mentioning the police earlier. Barry said last week, didn't he, that the local policeman here from Wood Plunton or whatever,
John McCarthy,
he made a statement. Well, I don't know if it was on radio or on the newspaper.
On the minutes,
right? On the minutes or something, saying that he had to come down
every
here
day,
every single day, and then Bev and Barry went up to him because they knew him or something, confronted him about it, and then. I don't know exactly what Barry's words are, but when they actually got him to say, well, did you go today? And he went, no. And they said, well, did you go yesterday? And he went, no. And they said, well, when exactly? Seeing you've made a statement, public statement, saying you're always having to go down there every day. And he hadn't been for a number of weeks or something. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And is that what happened? So I haven't read the statement. Where was it publicly announced?
In the newspaper. If you go back, you're probably getting... An old day. What day was it?
Was it in the Evening Post?
The Gazette.
It's terrible. That's the one that they.
I'll tell you what. I don't know. It could have been.
It's a Gazette. It's the one that they published.
So I really need
files.
To interview him as well. What's his name?
I think he's called John McCarthy.
They're very anti.
We never got told the lady that published that. She wouldn't speak after.
McCarthy.
She wouldn't speak after that letter got published. She
I'll ask him, Barry, anyway.
On the 6th, she was on holiday and then she didn't come back on holiday because she was sick.
I rang up and I said, who said that? I said, because it's complete not a lie.
It's that time again. It's exactly 5:15.
Gypsy love, tell us a tale and ride on the wind. Come
And not all police are like that. There's some, no, there's some, there's some fantastic
there's some
police
decent men.
As well.
There's some decent people.
But obviously...
Very good friends amongst the police.
Yeah.
Very good friends.
But the thing is, when people are...
Being victimised.
Growing up since their child, and the police steal things from their father.
Yeah, but then there's only particular types of police line. There's, and to actually do that, seeing he knew it was your water supply, which is the most important, apart from the fuel that runs your wagons, the most important thing human beings need is the water. And to actually put the screwdriver in the things as well, I mean, that's just... You have to
I'm
be a particular saying, type of human being to be able to
I
do that.
I haven't grown up as a traveller, so I haven't experienced that prejudice.
Yeah.
But I think if I had...
But
I
then you have.
Think, oh,
so we respect
yeah, but you have that prejudice as
people
a woman,
you
though.
As you find them, that's what I was saying before.
Yeah, but
there's
yes,
nice
not
police,
time.
There's bad police,
yeah.
Police
not
there's
yeah.
nice
yeah.
gypsies,
yeah.
there's bad, some bad
exactly.
gypsies.
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
nice people who
yeah.
live in houses in the streets, and there's some nasty people. There's
yeah.
nice people who live in Catford, there's
yeah.
nice people who live in Plumpton.
Can you remember the time
well,
the Moors made
that
it?
On, but that doesn't mean. But
they try to blame gypsies for taking the children here. My mum and dad was we were around Manchester, top end of
mm-hmm.
Manchester, where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, they tried to say the gypsies was taking the children. And the Moors.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they first of all tried
you,
to blame the gypsies.
Well, they come down. I can remember mum telling me we'd come down near Christmas time, and one little boy went missing around the area where it was, and he ripped the food, shook the food, the Christmas food they had, ripped everything apart, looked for bits or well, I don't know what he was looking for, and they ripped everything apart, trying to say that the gypsies took the child.
But that's an old historical.
Yeah, but that's something that's lawful. Before I was telling
that the gypsies
yeah,
steal the children.
But I was telling Paul it was a law. When we have pots outside. I've got a pot myself. We boil outside sometimes. It was lawful to come to a gypsy pot, tip it out. Anyone could come, not just the police. Anyone could come and tip it out. See if it was cooking babies or anything.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
Just
but that's what comes of small-minded, narrow-minded.
Mm.
Prejudice and bigotry.
Yeah, but they do seem to have an incredible effect, don't they? I mean, so obviously, what you would like is when you get to the July point, when you have to go to this through these proceedings, you'd like it all to be thrown out, right? You'd like to get on with your lives here. You would also like to get, I take it, this planning permission. I mean, do you want? Are you planning on building some buildings
no,
here?
Like,
or you
just like to build a toilet.
Oh, that's
shower.
All.
Oh,
that's all you would like.
Tower
to,
and the shop. That's how we want to build.
So you'd love to. You can maintain living in the caravan
yeah.
as part of
yeah.
your culture,
yeah.
but all you're asking for is that you'd need water supplies in.
We've got water.
Oh, so you've got all that. Yes. So all you want to do is build like a bit of an outbuilding.
Put cesspit down.
Yeah.
Put cesspit down. Build a toilet.
Yeah.
And that's it. Put a shower in.
And then live here peacefully, as James rightly said, in this small little microcosm here. Go out. Living with people, educating people with respect to
yes.
your culture and everything, which I thought that's what we were all supposed to be doing in this new modern multicultural society sort of thing. We seem to have been able to do it with lots of other different... I mean, Preston is a great, one of the first... or the first mosque that was built in this country, a Muslim mosque, was actually built on St. Paul's Road. And everybody, when I spoke to the people there about that... That was fantastic, and they celebrated it, and they, you know, and there isn't really that much racial tension. There seems to be a lot of harmony with people, but I mean, essentially, you would like this issue resolved so you can get on with your lives, live, get on with the people around here, and that's what you would actually like yourself as well.
It will never come to end. Racism for gypsies, the prejudice for gypsies will never come to end.
Yeah, but you can't say that, though, can you, Sean? Because, I mean, you're an optimistic and positive human being.
Yeah, I know, but I'm a realist as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of years of prejudice and persecution of our people. Do you think it's just going to stop like that?
No, but then, as we rightly said before, you don't strike me as a human being that gives up, and you'll never...
I won't give up, no, but I'm trying to...
Yeah.
But I'm a realist. You, at the end of the day, you can't get in and take the hate out of people's lives. Only way that's going to be is maybe the younger ones are educated.
Yeah.
Educate the children in schools, and when the old ones die off, maybe not my lifestyle, I will see it, but maybe my children's lifetime, we will see a difference. Because the children will be educated, they'll grow up, and they'll know about gypsies different.
It's got to be a shift.
They'll be educated them.
Yeah, it's
consciousness.
Got to be a shift.
Yeah. And the old poison
definitely.
Will die off.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just like probably
that's
half of Nazi Germany. Most would die off.
That's what the aim is to do, is to bring this new generation of thinking.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Totally people. Different level of intelligence.
That's one way it's going to happen, Paul.
Yeah. You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
I am really surprised at a lot of people that have expressed very negative feelings towards travellers. Some of those people are people that I know who I would consider to be reasonable, kind, Christian people, and as soon as the subject of travellers comes up, they completely change into monsters.
You taking pictures of me?
Yes, he's sitting down. This is me cooking my room. This is me brother Jimmy. This is our caravan. This is travelling life. The gypsies going to fill up. Yes. This is one of the gypsies.
Come here, gypsy.
He is. And this is my little brother on the floor, as you can see there. And this is the tent over there.
Well, basically, how does it feel being moved on all the time?
Oh, it's a terrible thing when you have kids. Section 61 is like the only U-turn now, and you have to move off. You have to go and find another bit of a ramp.
You have to go straight away?
Yeah, let's go straight away.
When did that come out?
Oh, that's out a long time, that is.
Is that recording?
About 9 years from here.
So it's about
1994-ish. Yeah, around that, yeah. But it's got more popular now, if you know what I mean. Like, for the travellers, because a lot of travellers do. So there's all different kinds of travellers. There's English and Irish, if you know what I mean. There's all different kinds. And it paints everybody with the one brush. Like, if you get Section 61, everybody has to move, if you know what I mean. Not just one, don't stay here. Even if you're sick and tending the hospital, you still have to go. Because when I was in hospital once, I had piercing on my lungs up at the beach pad. They gave a Section 61 and I had to move there and then. I got rushed to hospital. And they still wanted us to move. I didn't care if my motor got towed in, like, and pounded. So that's
Is that what they do if you're not there?
If you don't move, they'll take it.
And that with all your things in it, and then you've got no home.
You've got no home then.
Feel frightened when you sort of see them coming in. Your heart sinks and you think.
Yeah, you have races.
Do you think there should be more meetings between local residents and travellers?
Yeah, mixed together.
Like a social thing.
Yeah, like a social thing.
So they could get to know each other. And for children.
Yeah, the mix. There's a lot of children, like, when they mix, like, they can mix with anybody, you know what I mean? They can mix with anybody. All kids can mix.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's only round and round.
Pikey is an ugly name, without a doubt.
Is that the worst name?
And gypsies.
No, gypsies, Irish paddies, you get alone.
Travellers and best.
Do you think people are frightened to come and talk to you?
Some people do, because the lady who brought her little boy down, she said, my friend said, don't go down, they might beat you up. But why think that?
That must make you feel pretty bad, though.
Yeah, but I don't like when people come in pikey, and smelly people. Smelly.
Yeah. People call you smelly?
Yeah.
that's really horrible, isn't it? That's the kind of thing that would happen in a school playground, isn't it?
But not people, not most people call me pikey. Yeah. But some people do.
What sort of people? What are they like? Are they like in business suits usually, or are they like idiots? Or
they're just
like thugs.
Come on a bike,
but heading. Quakey! Oh, right. Bikers! Yeah. So you don't get business, or people are more respectable than
no.
Childish.
Ah, lads, have you ever seen that? I'd laugh at them.
But they probably don't come down this
end. Don't say to our faces.
Probably avoid.
Yeah, go around the long way. You come to go all around into the water to get off the other side.
And after all, we're only ordinary men.
The people that write these things, they don't care about the people they're writing about. They don't care about racism. All they care about is making money. They just want to get the money from your pocket into their bank. And somewhere along the line, when they find a story that's working and getting the money out of your pocket and into their bank, they go with it and they love stirring it up. And these guys, I think this is the reason that a lot of travellers have such negative response wherever they go. And it's not fair. It's bullying.
You know what I think it is? I think people's ashamed of their own self. I would never be ashamed of what I am.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Preston 103.2 FM, and it's the voice of the people. And it's July the 1st, and it's a Thursday evening. And I am just outside Catford in the small village of Wood Plumpton. And I have with me Bev Kerwin. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Paul.
Well, Bev, we've discussed a little bit just before we started recording, but essentially the show is about the Gypsy site, which is about 2 or 3 miles away from here, and the land that has been bought by the Lee family. The hearing is coming up towards, was it the 22nd or 24th of July, whether or not planning permission can be given in order for the Lee family to be able to permanently be resident there, get, I think, electricity and proper water supplies in and toilets and everything else. I know the one on Poulton, was it in Poulton that filed the site there, the planning permission wasn't granted. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll appeal or whatever the process is. But personally, how do you feel about, seeing you only live 2 or 3 miles away, how do you actually feel about, the Gypsy site there and how it affects you?
Well, I don't mind the Gypsy site being there, and it doesn't affect me in the slightest.
Right.
And I'm surprised that other people are complaining about them because they don't seem to be spoiling anybody's view.
Yeah.
You can hardly see them from the B road that runs through Catforth.
Yeah.
And they're taking up a scrap of land by the M55 motorway.
Yeah.
And that was rather unsightly anyway.
And it wasn't greenbelt land, was it? It was just a piece of agricultural land or something else bought off the farmer, wasn't it?
And it's only a sliver of land too.
Yeah.
And I can't really understand what people are complaining about. And as far as I know, they haven't caused any upset at all. And the gypsies themselves say that when people from the local area see them on the street, they're all very nice and polite.
And the children go to the local school.
Yes, yeah. And the parents of the children who go to the local school say that they're very nice to the gypsies and the gypsy children's parents as well.
Yeah.
So this is all behind the backs, really.
Right. The problem is that everybody gets painted with the same brush, don't they?
Yes.
So therefore, essentially, even though, I mean, I've met Sean and his family, Shelley and everything, what you're really nice, beautiful people, they've had a lot of hassle where they lived on a site in Blackburn for many years.
Yes, I believe so.
Their 16-year-old son, that was the last straw, on his way back to the to his home, was beaten up by a group of lads, had to go to hospital. So then Sean, he couldn't take it anymore, and all he would like to do is to quietly the land that he's bought there off the farmer, and obviously the farmer really likes him being there and stuff like this. He just wants to quietly and legally, because he works, pays his taxes, kids, as you say, go to the school, would like to be able to live peacefully there with just him and his family. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want to, because that's the problem, isn't it? The minute people say that it's a gypsy family, you have all these other connotations. It's almost that category comes first from the fact of, well, what are they like actually as human beings? Mm. They're already being prejudged, aren't
they? Yes, yes.
And then not just prejudged by the people in Catforth or here or whatever, but by the nation as a whole, or in fact across Europe.
Which is appalling.
Well, it is, but then it also has an effect because that sort of ignorance exists. What happens is that would have, if people were to buy a house in Catforth or something like this, then obviously if they knew there was a gypsy family, even though it's over the bridge, but it's just outside of Catforth, it could have an effect on the actual market value, couldn't it?
Well, they probably think so. It wouldn't bother me.
I know, it wouldn't bother me either. But, I mean, a lot of people would think, especially in this very beautiful area that we live, and people are fully aware of the marketable value of their homes, I would imagine that'll be one of the concerns. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, from the people I've spoken to, they haven't been causing any problems. There's no vandalism. Mm-hmm. They're really nice people, mm-hmm. peaceful, just getting on with, you know, their work. And I mean, even the caravans there and the way they live and everything, it's absolutely spotless.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
The way they've built the track, it's so set back. Mm-hmm. They've built beautiful fences. You know, these people, you know, they're doing it right, and they're really hard workers.
Yes, and their animals are well looked after.
Yeah, yeah, animals, yeah. The kids, everything. It's they're just, you know, really nice people. And I know that there was, remember that time you told me about, there was an article, quite a derogatory one, about, and then the policeman from Woodplumpton said on radio or in the article that he was going down there every day because of complaints, and that was a load of rubbish or something.
Well, a local policeman told us at, it was at a PAC meeting, actually, we heard that he was saying...
A PAC meeting in Woodplumpton?
At Catfiff.
Right.
That he was...
At the hall?
It was at the school.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going to the gypsy site every day.
Yep.
To check up on them.
Yep.
Whereas PCSOs...
And did he say that in front of everybody?
At the PAC meeting, yes. Whereas the PCSOs had actually told me that they hadn't been down for ages.
So when did you confront him about that and ask him that?
Yes, and he said, well, he was going down every other day.
Oh, so then he checked... Right.
So I don't really know.
Right. Because I've asked him, would he like to be interviewed? And he said no. He just gave me the phone number for the publicity thing or press people down at Hutton... headquarters, so he can't supposedly comment on anything.
Άιντα καλά φόρτσι.
Do you think there that from that is there like a bit of a campaign going in order for?
Yes, I think
so. And there's quite a few. Is it all a little bit under?
Yes.
Cover, as it were. It's all a bit concealed, or is it quite visible and open? Are they being absolutely fair and saying, well, this is the criteria of how we feel about it. These are the problems. This is the proof. And this is the reason why we're protesting against it. Has that been made clear?
Well, I think people are complaining that they haven't got planning permission for the land and they wouldn't be able to do the same thing. So difficult nowadays to get planning permission to build a house or whatever.
Yeah.
But come in.
It's okay.
But the thing is, it's so expensive to buy a piece of land with planning permission.
Yeah.
And it could be hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Oh, right.
And so I don't know where they think that these people are supposed to live.
Right.
When it costs that much money to get a piece of land with planning permission.
So that's one of the reasons why they purchased the land.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot cheaper if it hasn't got planning permission.
Yes.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, it's agricultural land, yes.
And do you think that is really the main issue? If somebody, say like, if you somebody was applying for planning permission to do something, one of the neighbours down here or something like that, you wouldn't necessarily all of a sudden get, especially with the police involved and other councillors and stuff like this, getting together and having a campaign to you can't do that.
No, I don't think that's it
a load
is
of rubbish.
That.
There's nothing to do that, no. that at all, is
no,
it?
No, that's the argument they're using.
Right.
And I'm sure it's the argument that politicians use as well when they know it's a vote winner.
Are they being racist?
I think so, yes.
Right.
Well, they're being prejudiced anyway.
Right.
Yeah. It's the reputation precedes them, as they say. Yeah,
right.
I spoke to a police officer from Garstang who said that in his experience, the gypsy people commit no more crime.
It's terrible, isn't it?
The facts are that they don't commit any more crime than ordinary people.
But it's almost become a joke, though, isn't it? It's become a joke. I mean, I spoke to a few people and stuff like that. You know, just, you know, some of the lads from, you know, within Preston City and stuff like that, and on estates and things. And, so, and they come out with such derogatory comments like, well, you wouldn't want to be living next to a gypsy family or encampment, would you? There'd be nothing left of your car by the morning and all this. And these stereotypes... You right, Barry?
Hi, Paul.
It's OK. We're just doing the radio interview now. We're still talking about... It's all right. No, it's very... We like it a lot. It's a lot better to speaking about it a lot. We were just on about the... you know, the policeman at, when he was saying that he had to go down there every day...
Yeah.
..to, you know, for all the complaints and stuff like that. And it's that was all a load of rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
According to the PCSOs, it wasn't true.
Right. Mm.
I spoke to him today, actually, and I haven't been there for ages now. I've had no reports of incidents.
Oh, he hasn't been there for ages. Huh? How many were at the PACT meeting when he said that he was going down every day, do you know?
About a dozen, I think.
Right, and he was saying that in front of everybody, and then there were emails going about as well.
Right.
So this became wildly public, that the local police officer was having to go down every day.
Yeah.
There were emails going about.
Yeah, the thing
so
is, that
served
its purpose,
spreading, isn't
though,
it?
Didn't
yeah,
it? Then it
yeah.
Because it was done at the beginning, has there been loads of publicity to say, well, now we're doing the radio show, so has there been much publicity in the newspapers to saying, well, actually, I've now not been...
No.
No.
Right. So, I mean, I did ask him, Barry, when I went to that meeting and stuff, would he like to be interviewed? And he said no. He just gave me the number for the Hutton police headquarters.
Today. He says, oh, no, I'm not allowed to get involved like
that. Well, see, as I've interviewed loads of policemen. I interviewed police about the homeless things and stuff like that. They don't have to do that. No. They can, on behalf of the, you know, the Plumpton police and stuff like that.
No, they won't do it.
Will they not?
I don't know. You've asked him. I've asked him twice. I asked him before you asked him. And then you asked him, and then I've asked him again. So.
But when is the actual hearing, Barry?
I think it's the 22nd. I'll let you know the time. It's the end of this month.
The end of July.
22nd or 20th. It's midweek.
Yeah.
22nd or the 24th.
Yeah.
But I'll get an email when it is off the clerk of the parish council.
And are you going to that yourself?
I'll go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go. You can speak if you want to.
But I had a muzzle, babble doom the babble, I'm just a little muzzle. That's the only thing you need, you got a hat and a little muzzle. Muzzle means good luck, cause with a little muzzle, you always make a buck. And if you have no muzzle, although you're on the ball, you try and try and can't get by, you beat your head against the wall. Don't ever try to figure why, who seems to be to blame? That some folks have a million and can't even write their name. That's why you gotta handle them a little muzzle. Muzzle means good luck, cause with a little muzzle, you always have a buck.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2, the voice of the people.
Das ist doch festgestellt, als man hat ein bisschen Muzzle, gehört dir die ganze Welt. Und bist du ein schlimm Muzzle, dann streckst du aus die Hand. Du läufst dahin, du läufst daher, mit dem Kopf, du hackst die Wand. Man kann mich schicken werden, von klären frag ich dich. Farwus hat eine Million, den kenn ich gut und ich schreibe sie. Ein Mensch muss auf ein Muzzle, das ist doch festgestellt. Als man hat ein bisschen Muzzle, ist mir kein Mal ohne Geld. You gotta have a little Muzzle. Muzzle means good luck, cause with a little Muzzle, you always make a buck. And if you have no muzzle, although you're on the ball, you try and try and can't get by, you beat your head against the wall. Don't ever try to figure why, who seems to be to blame? That some folks have a million and can't even write their name. Rip, muzzle. Es ist doch festgestellt, zum glücklich sein Habibi ist muzzle mehr wie Geld.
So what do you think is going to happen then?
I think they might lose their appeal.
Going to lose the appeal?
Well, the other lot did. There was another group of gypsies in Poulton, and they lost their appeal. I don't know if they're still there or not. Just because they lose their appeal, they just...
Yeah.
Oh, stick your appeal and they stay.
Yeah, and then they have to evict.
And then they can appeal against that, can't they?
Yeah. They can appeal against that, and then they have to get an eviction order against them. You have to apply to the courts to get an eviction order to get them to use force to move them off.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I mean, when I spoke to Sean, he's really, after living all those years in Blackburn and the fact that his son got beaten up, he's tired with the relentless sort of victimisation. He just wants to live quietly and he doesn't want a lengthy process and having to go through, you know, another bureaucratic sort of legal sort of thing. And so he'd just like to, if everybody just get, that'd be it. And I think it'd be brilliant because they're really nice people.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing anybody any harm there.
So you personally don't think they probably won't get the...
No, I don't think so. You never know, but they tend not to.
There's a piece of land for sale just a few yards away from my house. £200,000.
Just for a small piece of land?
Yes.
And has that got planning permission?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why it's 200,000?
Yes.
So, because that was nowhere near 200,000, was it? I can't quite remember what Sean said, but...
But is that what they're supposed to do, buy something like that?
Well, they know they can't afford it.
And how can ordinary people... What you get is developers buying pieces of land like that. They're the only people who can afford to.
Yeah, but then they can build a £100,000 in material cost house and then sell it for £500,000.
Yes.
Yeah. It's sort of... It's a shame, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. Because that would be an ideal piece of land for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's it's already got hard standing there, hasn't it? And probably power and water. And pretty much not encroaching on anybody there at all. It'd be ideal, but £200,000 for it.
Well, they're tough people. And it's been hard. And the thing is, whatever happens, you know, they'll... Because I did ask Sean that. I said, you know, a lot of families, generations that have gone back, you know, thousands of years, he was saying, they've given up. They've given up with the relentless sort of battling and sort of being moved from place to place and, you know, and the victimisation and having to stand your own and survive. And they've gone to live on housing estates and bought so they become assimilated in some way away from the natural way culturally that they used to live. Sean's saying he will never do that. He's saying he was born on the road. He will die on the road, as it were, as a free man, as a man that believes in his culture. Well, he's also their preacher as well. He's involved in religion and everything. Mm. So he's a very moral human being. But he refuses to capitulate. Mm. So whatever does happen with respect to the planning application at Countford, if in a couple of years he will find somewhere else, I don't think he'll ever give up. Do you, Barry?
No, I don't. No, he'll carry on.
And why should he?
Fighting to the death over me today. woman, I hear a sweet moan. My gypsy eyes is burning, and I've been singing. Oh, I've been singing.
To go back to what you were saying about people saying to you, you wouldn't want them living next door to you. Well, when I was a child, on the outskirts of Manchester, we had a piece of countryside called The Vale, near where I lived, where we played all summer.
Mm.
And we used to love it when the gypsies came to town. We used to seek them out, and nobody minded.
Yeah, there was a place down from us in the middle of Birmingham, in Smallheath, and there was a big park near to a canal. That saying that, though, even though they didn't seem to mind, they were always... Because I was fascinated by them. You know, all of a sudden, as you say, I think they used to come into that... I think it was, like, early spring. Mm. They used to come for about a month, 2 months. They were always like, though, a different people.
Oh, yes.
Weren't they? They were always like... They were like these travellers, yes. These sort, like people coming from another place, and then they would be gone again after a few months.
Yeah,
so even though, and there was like a protectiveness about it, so even though you could chat with a few, there was like a protective thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you feel the same?
Yes, yeah. But
and then lots of people used to be frightened of them.
Oh, we just were excited when they came. Oh, yeah.
People would hate it if you didn't give them like this a 50p or a pound for them. You'd be cursed for life.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was brought up with an Irish Catholic sort of nice enough people, but it didn't take much for them to start thinking that, you know, they were cursed and stuff like this if you didn't give them some coins or something like this. I mean, it's terrible, isn't
That's what the gypsies in Catfiff should do, put a curse on the lynch mob.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I was talking to Sean about that and Shelley. That's one of the... Because they're, you know, very intelligent people. They're fed up of hearing that particular stereotype and that sort of want that stigma against that.
That's it was a joke.
Yeah, I know it was from you. Yeah. But the thing is, it isn't from these other... Like you were speaking about before, about some of the other issues we're saying. For some people... It's a very serious matter. And then they're all a bit like this. It's like very... Yeah. Instead of going down to speak to them as human beings, they're saying, how's it going? And seeing how they live, it's this thing about making a judgment again before they've even met the people.
I don't think any of the people who are against the gypsies in Catfiff have actually been down to see them.
Well, that's terrible.
Or spoken to them.
Yeah.
Or had a conversation with them at all.
Guilty
before
even. Yes. Yeah.
Which is quite cowardly.
Well, it is,
really. Which is outrageous, really, isn't it?
Well, it is, isn't it?
Not given a chance as well. Yeah. Guilty.
Mm. Until otherwise, proved.
Until proved innocent.
Until.
But they don't want to prove them innocent anyway.
No, they've already made their minds
up. They have, yes.
I know. Well, that is...
I don't know how you convince these people.
Well, the thing is, what Sean would like to do, I'm sure, is to sort of... Because he's had enough hassle, he's tired with it.
Mm.
He's tired with human beings, you know. And it's nothing to do with it. I'm sure, I mean, Sean even met... There will be certain gypsy families that are a bit naughty and are a bit rough and stuff like this. But then that's nothing to do with gypsies. That's to do with any society.
Yes, yeah.
You know, there's people where I live. There's some good people, but then there's some right... awful people as well, and I'm sure it's the same here everywhere we go. That's nothing to do with you, that's just humans. And essentially Sean just wants to live in peace. He wants to just because he gets on with all the farmers and he's, you know, and he gets on, and then his sons go down to the, you know, they work really hard, they go down to the pub and they don't get any hassle. There's never any, you know, all this nonsense that keeps getting talked about, and it's just there's a lot of ignorance and just fear founded upon nothing, I think. And I seem to find it difficult to find anybody who will come on the radio and actually tell me what it is then. Fact, you know, and the, you know, why it is that they feel this way. Well, listen, Bev, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And sorry, Barry, you've come in and we're still chatting away and stuff like that.
So I've been playing cricket.
Pardon?
I've been playing for the cricket team.
And how did you win? Did you? What was the score?
Jingle jangle, fancy shoes. the dancing time. Oh, the secrets of her dark eyes, they did sing a gypsy rhyme. Yellow clover, entangled blossoms in a meadow silky green, where she held to her bosom just a boy of 17. I recall a gypsy woman, silver spangles in her eyes, ivory skin against the moonlight, and the taste of life's sweet wine. Soft breezes blow from fragrant meadows, stir the darkness in my mind. Old gentle one, you sleep beside me, little gnome who haunts my mind. Gypsy lady, I hear your laughter, and it dances in my head, while my tender wife and babies slumber softly in their bed. I recall a gypsy woman, silver spangles in her eyes, ivory skin against the moonlight, and the tame
listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
Many thanks to Jane Smith, Dave Eaton, Sean O'Hara, James Hull, and Bev and Barry Kerwin. Special thanks go to Sean, Shelley, their son Stephen, and all the Lee family. We hope you are successful at the public hearing, which all the general public can attend at Preston Town Hall on Wednesday, the 28th of July at 10 o'clock in the morning. So it's goodbye from Mr. Butler.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Mr. O'Hara. Till the next time on The Voice of the People.